Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 22. And as you're doing that, I want to remind you that home group training starts today. And I'm going to be in there with the new group that's going through the training, that's beginning the training today right after church. We've got child care available. And we need people to pastor, help us pastor this congregation. And so if you feel like you have pastoral gifts or hospitality gifts or whatever, you would love to have some people minister to people, help us minister to people, or open your home for people to come in and be ministered to, then you're welcome to come today. 12 o'clock in what room, Pastor Roy? 206. 12 o'clock in 206. All right. Well, today I want to finish up a 10-week series that I've been in. It's been fun, but everything's got to come to an end. And today is the last in the series. And this series has been all about exposing the exciting life that you get when you follow the Lord. Now, I didn't say it was easy, always. I didn't also say that it was always hard, because there is great joy and great contentment and great peace in following God. There's also battles, and there's also struggles, and there's also obstacles, and there's also things that would oppose that type of life. And so following God turns your life into one of these very interesting stories that somebody wants to write about, that they make movies about, stories like those movies that we love, like Lord of the Rings, where there's a battle between good and evil, and then seeing the perseverance of the people that are going through that. And they go through obstacles, and they go through problems, and they go through losses even. But at the very end, they stand there and they're victorious, and they've overcome evil. And so that's the type of life that we have following God. We've used Abraham as our example, an example of a man who walked by faith and walked an exciting life with God. And today I want to teach the last series, because we're going to go visit Abraham last in this series, because we're going to visit Abraham one more time. And we're going to go with him to his biggest trial that he had in his life. And I'm calling this teaching Abraham's Calvary. Abraham's Calvary. So Genesis chapter 22, we're going to read a few verses here. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's enough testing, waiting 25 years for the promise to come to pass in his life. But brothers and sisters, even after the promise comes to pass in your life, you still will face a test. And that's what I want to talk about today. So sometime later, after the fulfillment of Abraham's promise, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied. Here I am. God said, take your son, Now, last week we talked about fulfillment. I love talking about fulfillment. We discovered that God is not a man that he can lie or change his mind. God will accomplish what he has said. God will accomplish what he has told you he will do in your life. And fulfillment's the time that everybody looks forward to. To finally reach the place where you're not waiting on something anymore, but that thing that God has told you about finally becomes manifest, where you get to the place where faith finally becomes sight. And can you imagine how the devil feels looking upon the fulfillment of the vision in your life, realizing that all his attempts to derail you and stop you from receiving what God has for your life have completely ended in failure? But just because you reach the fulfillment of the vision doesn't mean that Satan gives up his attacks against you. He just simply changes tactics. You know, there's something within our nature. I don't know what it is about us, but we like to avoid obstacles. We like to avoid hard times. We like to avoid waiting. We don't even like to wait in line. I've been on vacation with Pastor Roy. You have too. One time we went to Disneyland, or somewhere. No, what was the name of that place we went to? Universal. I should have asked a younger person what the name of that was. Went to Universal Studios. Well, there's this, you know, there's a lot of people there, you know, at Universal Studios. And so there's long lines where you go. And as being the godly person that I am, I go to the back of the line. Next thing I know, I look, Pastor Roy's way up at the front of the line. Getting ready to go in. Yeah, they did ask a question. Anybody that knew the answer could come to the front of the line. But you know, we don't like to wait. And he doesn't like to wait, is what I'm saying. But none of us like to wait. But leading up to the fulfillment of a vision, there's this sensation of waiting, right? We're all sitting there waiting for something to transpire. And waiting implies that something is missing, that something hasn't quite happened yet. Now, maybe we're not necessarily doing without, but something that we're looking toward has not transpired. And so there's this not tension, but just this sense of a need for something to happen in our lives. Now, once the vision is fulfilled, that sensation of waiting seems to go away. It's lost in the joy of fulfillment. But then something strange begins to develop within us that Satan seeks to exploit for his own purposes. And that is this: we never want to return to living by faith again. We talked about this. That wants to have a bird in the hand, that would rather live with a bird in a hand than a promise in the bush. Moses had a promise in the bush. But we like to live with a bird in the hand. And that type of desire within us works completely against a life of excitement. Walking by faith, the life that everybody longs to, this beautiful story of overcoming and seeing God move. And I'm not coming against having something. But we have to beware that we don't get to the place to where we start polluting the vision by serving the vision rather than serving the God who gave it. It's a real temptation. It's a temptation that will come against all of us. And Satan seeks to use this type of situation, this type of desire within us, to create an idolatrous type situation. Because if he can't get you to give up while you're seeking the vision, he can't get you to stop believing God, and all of a sudden the vision gets fulfilled, then he'll settle for you serving that vision. He'll settle for you serving it. I've seen this many times before. I have felt this temptation before. And to avoid this trap of the enemy, we got to follow the example of Abraham and be willing to lay down everything if God asks us to. In this story, we see God tell Abraham to go to a hill and sacrifice his only son. Now, this is the son that God said. It's in Isaac that your seed will be called. So we have two words here that seem like they have no reference to one another. It's in Isaac that your seed will be called. Go and sacrifice Isaac on the hill that I will show you. Seems to be irreconcilable. But Abraham, when he hears this word from God, takes his son. He doesn't try to sit there and reconcile. See, that's our problem sometimes. We try to sit there and reconcile words from God. We're not called to reconcile something. We're called to obey. So Abraham doesn't sit there and argue with God for 3 days. Abraham packs up everything and he sets out for probably was the longest three-day journey of his life. Can you imagine? 3 days knowing you're heading to the place where you're gonna go through this act of sacrificing your son. And can you imagine as Abraham rode there, he was thinking, how is God going to do this? How is God going to do this? Because he told me that it was through Isaac that my seed would be called, but now God has told me to lay this down, to lay it down completely at his feet. Abraham finally arrives at the place. He dismounts. He tells his servants to wait. Because I think it was such a crazy word that he didn't need any input from his servants. There comes a time where you don't need any more input. You know, I'm thankful for my staff because they like to give me input on things. But there comes a time when God has already spoken, I don't need any more input. Okay? Because God has already said what to do. So Abraham gets off his donkey. Isaac dismounts. Abraham takes the wood and straps it to the back of Isaac. And then they approach Mount Moriah. And in Abraham's hands are the instruments of sacrifice. He's got a knife in one hand, a fire in another. And Abraham, I love the fact that it's not recorded that Abraham disputed with God about what he wanted him to do. And I think it was because Abraham understood something. And if we're going to be successful walking this vision out with God, we've got to have this same understanding that Abraham had. And that was that Isaac wasn't going to be a sacrifice. Isaac was a sacrifice. You see, a life that's given by God and a life given to God is the definition of a sacrifice. And Isaac had been given to Abram. It was a product of God's mighty hand. And therefore, it belonged to God. It was a product of God. Abraham didn't exercise ownership over the vision. That's another place that we get in trouble. Sometimes we start looking at a fulfilled vision, or when God performs his word in our life, we start looking at it as being ours. Never was ours. In the very beginning, we couldn't produce it, didn't do anything to produce it. It always belonged to God. It was always a product of God, and it's God's, and he can do anything he wants with it at any given time. And Abraham understood that. And I want you to understand it. Remember, your vision is a product of God. Your vision belongs to God, so God can ask anything of it at any point in time. So at the end of the journey, as Abraham and Isaac climb the hill, at the end of this journey, somewhere unseen, sits the one who began the whole journey. And when I'm talking about the one, I'm talking about one with a capital O. Sits the God who began this whole. And Abraham and his son are heading this direction, and at the end, God waits. And God watches Abraham from the hill. And as God watches Abraham climb the hill, he begins to look at him and realize, there's a man that I can trust to be used powerful, destiny-altering way. Abraham understood that everything he had was a product of God. God could ask for it at any point in time, could ask anything from it. And Abraham didn't try to reconcile the unreconcilable. He just, instead of trying to figure out a way, he put the way in the middle. Over here, Isaac shall be the one who produces your seed. Over here, take Isaac to the hill and sacrifice him. So instead of trying to figure all this out, Abraham just put God in the middle. He said, this came from you and it'll be sustained by you. And you can do anything with it at any given time. It's yours. It always was yours and always will be yours. So when Abraham gets there and he begins to sacrifice his son, God calls to him and says, Abraham, don't lay a hand on the boy. He said, I can use this ministry because the motives and the hearts are right in it. I can use this because the motive and the heart is right. I want this ministry to have the right heart and right motive. The ministry of this church. So Abraham hears this rustling. He looks around and there's a ram with his horns caught in a thicket. The Lord will provide. And so God provides the lamb and fulfills his word to Abraham just like he always had. And Abraham provided God a life that is a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is a beautiful story because it's a foreshadowing of another event that took place on this very same hill years later. One day on this very same hill, God again provided a lamb that would save the life of his seed. Jesus went to this spot just like Isaac went, with the wood on his back, the wood of sacrifice on his back, the Father leading the way. It wasn't wicked men that took Jesus to the cross. It was the Father's will that he do this. The Father leading the way with the instrument of circumcision and the fire of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus left everything to do God's will. He was the kind of person that didn't hold on to things. He just believed in his Father and he lived to do his Father's purposes. So if God asks for a sacrifice from the vision, or if God asks for the vision and a sacrifice for you to sacrifice the entire thing in the future, remember the vision is a product of God. It belongs to God. And therefore it is a living sacrifice. It's created to serve its Lord, and Jesus must always be the Lord over it. It doesn't belong to us. We exercise no ownership over it. I'm going to tell you one more thing. We still got a couple of 3 minutes and then we'll go. When the Lord called me to be pastor of this church, if he had told me what we were going to go through, I would have turned it down. No, I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have turned it down because I wanted to do what God wanted me to do. I'm just saying that. I didn't realize the pathway it was going to take to get us where we are. And I tell you what, you can't exercise ownership over the ministry. You can't. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to you in any shape, form, or fashion. And you can't even keep tabs. You can't even keep tabs, can you, Pastor Bob? You can't come to the place where you go, well, I did this for this person, and that for that person, and this for this person, and that for that person. Therefore, they owe me. Can't even do that. Everything you do for God. And the Lord told me early on, he said, this is not your church, it's mine. And he said, exercise no ownership for it. He says, I asked you to come in, and if I ever ask you to go out, you will leave, and you will leave alone. You won't call anybody. You won't tell your story. You won't do any of those kind of things. You will go out like you came in with me. And he said, I want you to do things as unto me. I want you to allow me to work with the sheep, and I will put them in any pasture I want them to be in, and you will not impede in that process. And then he told me, he said, as far as keeping tabs goes, he says, you will not be a bridge burner. I forbid you to burn bridges. When people leave, I don't care how they leave, you do not burn the bridge behind them. He said, because one day some of them will have to have a bridge to recross to get back. And if you burn it, there won't be a bridge there. And I have tried with everything within me to live that way. Because this is God's. Whatever has been done has been done by His power and His authority and His glory. Okay? We're all tools, and we all love working with our dad. Isn't it fun, Heidi, just to work with your dad? And when you're working with him and he's working through you, you feel something. And you think, ooh, that feels good. And if you're not careful, the next thing you know, you'll think you're doing it. You think, man, I know how to do this. You know, gee whiz, I've been around this long enough, I know how to do this ministry thing. Look, let me just tell you something. When God found me, I was an alcoholic and a drug user with a broken family. And you want me to tell you the reality? That's the best I could do without Jesus. That is my best. I didn't wake up one morning and say, hey, this is my goal, to have a broken family and be a drug addict, a drug user and an alcoholic. That's my goal. It wasn't what I did. But the truth of the matter is that's all I am without Him. So to take responsibility for something that happens supernaturally is not just foolish, it's asinine. Asinine. It's the height of idiocy. Now, I love to hear that God's working among us, and if you come up and say, hey, God's working, and you know, that's great, because we all like to know God's using us. But I'm not confused about who's doing it. Okay? So, listen. I'm saying this because you are people of the autumn harvest. And it's autumn time in the kingdom of God. And the Jews had two harvests that they celebrated. They had the spring harvest and they had the autumn harvest. We are about people of the autumn harvest right here. And God is about to sweep through and start harvesting this earth before He comes again. And we have got to be ready to receive all that with an understanding of who's doing it, what role that I play, and what role I don't play in it. And we have got to be prepared to do whatever God says to do with it. So, it's about to get exciting. We were here Wednesday night. When we got here and we were worshiping Brandy, I just felt like windows opened in the heavens. And I heard the Lord say that. There's windows open. And man, the spirit of prophecy just began to, the seers, anointing just began to open up, and man, things just began to happen. It was powerful. And the Lord told me, when I was in the restroom, you know, the Lord can speak to you anywhere. I was back down there in the restroom before service, and the Lord spoke to me, and He said, I'm about to shake this place. He goes, it's going to be a quake. Now, we've already been shaken. The quake has already started. The quake is not intended to destroy them. The quake is intended to let the heavens roar. Because the heavens are roaring and it's producing a shaking on the earth. But you know what? It's going to, the shaking always starts in God's kingdom, and then it moves out and goes into society. And when it starts shaking in society, it starts shaking people into the kingdom. See what I'm saying? It's autumn time. Everybody time for harvest. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for everything that you've done. Awaken within all of us the heart of a harvester. Awaken it, mighty God. We don't have time to be so considered thinking about ourselves. How are people going to view us and what are they going to think? We don't have time for that type of thinking. We should be beyond that type of thinking at this point in our life. Father, I submit myself to you. I submit the property of my life to you. I submit the soil to you. God, do with it what you want to do. Produce mighty fruit. And Lord, I thank you for the excitement of following you. And I understand you can speak any word to me that you want. And Lord, I commit to following you. And I don't exercise ownership over the powerful things that you do in my life. And I give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen. Amen.